Well, hi, everyone. Kind of a funky setup of the room. And thank you to the Socialist Caucus for inviting us to speak about People's Health Movement and to report back on the Third People's Health Assembly that was held in Cape Town, South Africa in July. And I have nothing to disclose. So People's Health Movement, just as an overview, is a global network of health activists. And I don't call us health workers who are, it's one of the strengths about it is that it creates bridges across folks who are doing activism on the underlying determinants of health. So some people in the movement don't necessarily come from a health background, but health has been something that has unified and pulled and reached across different people's movements. And that's actually one of the things that I think is the most powerful element of people's health movement. So building that potential solidarity across sectors, as well as that it is an opportunity to build solidarity across countries and regions on different topics that we are all struggling with. The People's Health Movement calls for grassroots voices to be heard on health policy, and central to our vision is revitalized primary health care, and I'll describe that in a little bit more detail. So we're going to be giving, this panel overall is going to be giving highlights from the Third People's Health Assembly that we were all at in July of 2012. I'm going to give an overview in terms of founding principles and history, and then, as Lexi mentioned, we'll be talking about environmental justice and health, fair and healthy work, Occupy Public Health, and IPHU, which are all opportunities for engagement. So a little bit about the history of People's Health Movement. So some of you in the room were around maybe in 1978. It was a moment when the world committed to a vision of health for all by the year 2000. Achieved through primary health care. I know, we now giggle. achieved through a vision of primary health care and really sort of operating through equity in terms of achieving health for all. So as we know, however, in between 78 and 2000, some other factors came into play and health for all was not exactly advanced. That meant that a group of health activists actually who had been very upset over the fact that the 20th anniversary of the Alma-Ata Declaration in 1998 had come and gone with WHO basically declaring that primary health care was dead and over and that vision just hadn't panned out. So a group of activists put together what they called a People's Health Assembly to challenge that and to call for a renewed commitment to health for all. That first People's Health Assembly was held in December of 2000 in Bangladesh, and there was 1,500 delegates approximately from over 60 countries. It was rather a chaotic event and an amazing event, and out of that week-long process in Bangladesh, a call to action was generated called the People's Charter for Health. And we do have copies of it in the back. It looks like this, and I invite you to grab some and take them. A few highlights from the Charter to Health is that, again, health is a social, economic, and political issue and a fundamental human right, and really is affirming that as a vision and a key principle. That achieving health for all means that we have to challenge powerful interests, that globalization has to be opposed, and that political and economic priorities have to drastically change. Health for all is possible. It's a question of political will. And that equity and ecologically sustainable development and peace are at the heart of our vision of a better world. There are enough resources. It is a matter of political will. So in the, I'm cruising through about 5 years here, but there was a second People's Health Assembly then that as People's Health Movement grew and developed was held in Cuenca, Ecuador in 2005. There were participants from over 80 countries at that. And one of the key issues that we tackled at that assembly was looking at how globalization and the forces of globalization were seriously impacting our ability to achieve health for all. The Cuenca Declaration that came out of that assembly stressed, among other things, that the human right to health and health care must take precedence over the profits of corporations, especially profiteering of pharmaceutical companies. This directed some of the focus of organizing coming out of the Second People's Health Assembly, really trying to take on global issues and globalization. So to do that, people's health movement is fundamentally organized at a country level or even more locally. As health activists, we're working in country circles. So there are now over 70 PHM country circles that are active around the world. We're all part of People's Health Movement US. There's also a small group in Canada that's building People's Health Movement in Canada. And together we form the region of North America. And there are People's Health Movement and circles being organized actively at different levels all over the world. This is primarily a South-led movement. We're a little on the slow side from the industrial north. This is actually a photo of People's Health Tribunals in India, which was a key way that they built People's Health Movement in India, through holding tribunals around the right to health in different locations within India, where people gave testimony to how their right to health had been denied. As we started to look, though, at global issues and the forces of globalization, country-level activism isn't always enough. And one of the really exciting potentials of People's Health Movement as a global movement is the ability to connect activism across countries around issues that unite us. In this case, in Latin America, over the past few years, there's been an increasing effort towards building, through People's Health Movement, efforts to connect activism around health and environment together. And that's something that we'll be hearing more about from Lexi. At a global level, People's Health Movement has also been working at sort of bringing grassroots voices to policy. And the Global Health Watch is one concrete way in which that information is shared. It's an alternative World Health Report. It's created by people's voices, not necessarily by those who have influence at World Health Organization. Over 125 contributors. The third edition of that Global Health Watch is now available. Small advertisement at Hesperian's booth 1600. It's a great textbook and a course book, and I'd encourage you to come by and take a look at it. People's Health Movement has also been active in engaging at the People's Health Assembly and at the World Health Assembly and with the World Health Organization. And that brings us to Cape Town and the Third People's Health Assembly. So we're going to be giving you some highlights of some of the things that we were involved in helping organize coming into the People's Health Assembly, but also sort of things that are coming out of it that are opportunities for engagement for us from North America. There were over 800 activists from 90 countries that met at the University of the Western Cape in Cape Town. It is a location that was wonderful in that it really is part of what, and a lot of the heart of anti-apartheid organizing inside of South Africa for many, many years. There's a short statement that the North America delegation at People's Health Assembly made, and I'm just going to read it off of Lexi's computer. So we, the People's Health Movement of Canada and the United States, come to you speaking many different languages. Our ancestors come from many lands, and we have many different beliefs. We stand before you, however, united in our belief of the right to health for all peoples, on our continent and beyond. Transnational companies based in our countries commit massive health, labor, and environmental injustices in your countries, in ours, and on indigenous territories within our borders. We seek to struggle alongside you as our colleagues to combat these violations. Our governments, too, are co-opted by these corporations, and we seek to reclaim them for our peoples. International agencies masquerading as global governance also need to be held accountable. We ask for your collaboration in the next few years on the specific issues of the impact of mining and oil industries on people's health worldwide, work and the right to health, the right of migrants in our countries to seek to decent social and health protection, and ending the perpetuation of militarism in North American culture. We thank you for the inspiration for the last few days, and we look forward to our continued struggle together. And that I think represents some of the themes that we'd like to speak with you about more in the next with the next speakers. And I think I covered what I needed to here. Oh, I was instructed that I should talk a little bit about how PHM is structured. So very, very briefly, there's a country circle that is PHM US, and we are organized into different interest areas. There is also a country circle in Canada, and I know there are some people from Canada here. And together we make up the North America region that is represented as a region on a global steering council. People's Health Movement is a movement with a lot of reach, but actually like two paid staff people, if you call what they're paid being paid. So it's done almost entirely through volunteer efforts and globally. And certainly inside of the U.S., People's Health Movement is entirely a volunteer institution, so organization. So I think I covered what I wanted to, and I want to leave enough time for others to talk more about the work that we are doing, and I think we're going to have questions at the end. Mm-hmm.